Welcome to the Susan Brender Show. It's all about you. Featuring shows on health and wellness, the performing arts, politics, and people who inspire you to be your very best. And now, here's Susan Brender.
I'm Susan Brender, and this is the Susan Brender Show. Today, I'm so pleased to have my guest on the show. His name is Steve Snyder, and Steve has written a book that sounds like it is absolutely fabulous. It's called Shot Down, the true story of pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. Susan Ruth was his sister, actually, who the plane was named after. Now, when he returned from VSP, which I'm going to ask you what that's all about, Steve, in 2009, after 36 years in national sales and sales management, he began a quest to know everything possible about the World War II experiences of his father. And today he's going to tell us all about the book. He's going to tell us all about the experiences that his father had. And I want to welcome you, Steve, to the Susan Brender Show.
Well, thanks a lot, Susan. It's nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, my pleasure. So let's go to the very beginning of the show and ask you how you came to write a book like this.
Okay. Well, growing up, I knew the basics of my dad's World War II history. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England with the 8th Air Force. And as you mentioned, his plane was named the Susan Ruth, who was named after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas, and he flew bombing missions over occupied Europe and Germany. And in February 1944, his plane was shot down over Belgium, and he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture and made it back to England.
How do you do that, Steve?
Okay, we'll diverge there a little bit then. After his plane was shot down, he bailed out, or while his plane was being shot down, he bailed out. And he came down in some trees, and his parachute got hung up in the branches, and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and couldn't get down.
Wow.
But fortunately for him, a couple of young Belgian farmers came to his rescue and helped him down out of the tree and told him to hide because it was afternoon, and they thought it was too dangerous to try to move him during daylight.
Yeah. You know, excuse me for interrupting you. You know, a while ago I did a show with the Tuskegee Airmen, and the person I interviewed was also shot down, but he was shot down over one of the concentration camps. You know, it was a dangerous time, right? And a lot of these men took their lives. I mean, they really risked their lives, didn't they?
Yeah, my dad's B-17 crew, B-17 had a 10-man crew. And five of the men came back home, but five of them did not, so only half of them.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, let's just talk about the book a little bit, because the book, as I said, is very interesting, and it really talks about a time that a lot of the young people today don't even know about. Now, if you were to go in front of, a high school class or a college class, and you would tell them about it, what would you say?
Well, I would say quite a bit. I'm on the board of the 306 Bomb Group Historical Association. I'm immediate past president, and it's our mission of the organization. It's also the goal of all the presentations that I do make to remember the air war over Europe, to honor the men who fought it, and to educate the public about it, especially younger generations, because as you mentioned, World War II was over 70 years ago, and it's fading in people's memories, and
yes.
We can't let that happen. So I try to emphasize the importance in groups, before groups that I talk to, about that, and talk about what those men in the 8th Air Force went through and the sacrifices they made in the fight for freedom.
Yeah. Now tell us about the 8th Air Force Division. Who were they and what exactly did they do?
Okay. Well, the United States Air Forces during World War II, they had a number of Air Force groups. One was the 8th Air Force, which was stationed in England during World War II, and it flew high altitude daylight precision bombing missions over occupied Europe and Germany. The goal was to hit Nazi military and industrial targets to cripple Nazi Germany's ability to make war. They made their first mission on August 17th of 1942. And during the war, they lost 26,000 men that were killed. That's more than the entire Marine Corps fighting in the Pacific. And another 28,000 men became prisoners of war after their B-17s and B-24 bombers were knocked out of the sky, either by enemy fighters or anti-aircraft fire. Being a combat crewman in the 8th Air Force was the most dangerous duty assignment in the United States military during World War II.
Why did people take that risk? I mean, they must have known that it was a huge risk, and they must have known that the chances of them coming back was, what, 50-50 or even less than that? There are some people. This is what really kind of impresses me. You know, you hear about some of these men and some of these women who took their lives very seriously, but yet they were able to do something that would just be saving their country, or they wanted to get rid of course, all those evil people. How do you attribute the time and the sense that they really said to themselves, what is more important, my life or maybe my country?
Well, without doubt, in my opinion, they were the greatest generation. And they were amazing men to go up day after day, or when the weather was good, and go on these bombing missions that could be their last. As you mentioned, the 8th Air Force took devastating losses, and it was the worst year was 1943. The average number of missions flown that year was 6 before being shot down. But these guys were incredible. They sucked it up, and they went back up. Just looking at that, you know, it was their duty. They had a job to do, and they did it. Of course, also, you know, they were real young guys. They were in their late teens and early 20s. So, wow. You know, at that age, they kind of feel they're invulnerable. And if, you know, someone's going to get killed, it's going to be the other guy and not me.
Yeah. And so your dad's plane was shut down, and escape and evasion and bravery of the Belgium underground French resistance played a role in that, didn't they?
Absolutely. After my dad helped down out of the tree, he was hidden by the Belgium underground for several months. They moved him from place to place to place. How long he stayed in any given house depended on how brave the people were who lived there, and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might stay one night at one house or 6 weeks at another house. Mm-hmm. And then after several months, he got tired of hiding, and he decided to join the French resistance. But those Belgian people that hid him, or any down airmen for that matter, were unbelievably brave, because they risked their lives and those of their family and friends. If the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, those people would be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people who helped my dad and his crew met that fate.
Mm, they did. And was he able, after the war, to touch base with them, to hear their stories at all?
Yeah, he did keep in touch. With the people that he stayed with for lengthy periods of time, he became friends with. And after the war, they communicated, you know, through letters and Christmas cards and things like that. And then he did go back to Belgium to meet them. Actually, like most World War II veterans, he didn't talk a lot about the war, but that changed in 1989. A memorial was built to my dad and his crew in the little village of Mackenwas, near where the plane came down. It's just north of the French border in Belgium. And my dad and the three other crewmen that were living at the time went over for the dedication. And there my dad was reunited with all those people who helped him during the war and saw the places where he was hidden. And that brought it all back, and he started talking about it after that.
Oh, he did. Okay, so set the stage for us for a second. So I want to know when he, you know, he sat down with you, for example, and he started to tell you a little bit about the story. Was he very emotional? Did he remember things that were really sad? Did he come back with something that a lot of us soldiers have today, which is PTSD, because it was so traumatic for them? How did your father deal with the situation and, you know, again, set the stage for us?
Well, he did. He didn't really suffer from it later in life, although when he first came back, there were issues. He never really talked about that, but I've talked to aunt and uncles of mine who said that he and my mother, you know, had some rough moments after he came back from the war. You know, he came back to, he was married, and he had, my other sister was born while he was missing in action. So that was really tough on my mother because she had a one-year-old baby girl and an infant girl, didn't know she'd ever see her husband again. But when my dad came back from the war, you know, all of a sudden he's put in this family life and he has demands from, you know, attention for his wife, for his kids, and that was kind of hard for him to deal with. But he got over that, and later in life, you know, he didn't really have any issues. He was very proud of his service during the war.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question which is a little bit of apples and oranges, and that is that today we have a lot of soldiers, and soldiers that generally try to get involved in the military, they are people who are looking for opportunities, opportunities to get an education, opportunities to get health benefits, I mean, all kinds of things. Do you think that people today, and I'm talking about young people, should serve in the Army even for a year, similar to that of the Israelis? Because from my standpoint, and I want to point this out, that I feel very strongly about this, and that is that I think that if every young person, man or woman, had an opportunity to join the military for a year, they would grow up. They would learn a lot. They would have opportunities that are just incredible, and it would be good for them. You agree with me or disagree with me?
I absolutely agree with you. I think everyone should go in the military. Yeah, I went in the military during the Vietnam years, and I really didn't want to. why I was there, like going through basic training and all that, I didn't really care for it. But, you know, it was, I'm glad that I went through it. It was a great experience. Like you say, it helps you grow up. It teaches you discipline. It teaches you teamwork. It teaches you an appreciation for your country. I absolutely think everyone should go in the military for 1 year or 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's just such a fabulous opportunity, and I wish our government, not that I think that they have to force people to do it, but I think that they should at least encourage them to do it. Now, let's go back to the book, and let's go back to some of the experiences of your father. How did he come to find the Luftwaffe pilot Hans Berger? A lot of people who fought in the war, you hear stories that they actually made friends with the enemy. And in this case, you said he did.
Well, my father didn't. I found Hans Berger during my research. My father died in 2007, and I didn't decide to write the book until 2012. And I found Hans Berger in 2013 during my research. I would have loved for the two of them to meet, but that just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. And when you met him, what did you talk about?
Well, that was an amazing experience. I had never even dawned on me to try to find a Luftwaffe pilot because I thought it'd be impossible. All my father knew and all the military records show is that he was shot down by two German Focke-Wulf fighters. And one day when I was doing my research, my wife just casually said, well, why don't you try to find the German pilot that shot down your dad's plane, which I thought was a crazy idea. But like a good husband, I did what she told me to do. And as you indicated, I found Hans Berger. For the book, I just interviewed him over the telephone and through email. But in 2016, I did go to Munich, Germany. And Hans is still alive today. He's 95 years old. And corresponding with him, you know, and writing the book and then meeting him in person was just an amazing amazing experience. It was really a thrill for me.
Why? You know, there must have been a reason. He must have been a very interesting man. And a lot of the people who fought in World War II were, as I said before, and I use this word openly, and they were very evil. But there were some, probably like Hans, who just were taking orders and didn't understand the magnitude of what was going on, correct?
Correct. I mean, there were really two parts of the Nazi or the Germany's military. One was the regular army, the Wehrmacht, which the Luftwaffe was a part of. But then there was the Nazi armed forces, which were called the SS. Those are the guys that ran the concentration camps, and those were the guys that really committed most of the atrocities. The regular army guys were just like Hans, you know, a young guy fighting for his country and, you know, trying to do a job.
Mm-hmm. And when you talked to him and you explained that he was the person who shot your father's plane down, how did he respond?
Well, it's interesting that actually the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans down, too. They actually shot each other down, and he bailed out and made it through the war. And I also have to say I was extremely fortunate that after the war, Hans became a translator, so he speaks perfect English. But he, you know, he knew that he shot down a B-17 that day, but he had no idea, you know, who he shot down. When I met with him, he brought out his log book, and on February 8th of 1944, he showed me his entry where he said he, you know, he shot down a B-17, and then his plane was shot down, and he had to bail out. And he said it was unfortunate that they had to be shooting against one another, but you know that's what we're there to do. And he was thought it was pretty amazing that here he is talking to the son of a pilot that he shot down during the war. And we've become friends. The way I look at it is that at one moment in history, my father's life and Hans' life intersected. And for guys who fought in World War II, it was the defining moment of their lives. I mean, there was no bigger event in their lives than what they went through. So I felt a personal connection to Hans because he was part of my father's life, part of my father's story. And so I had no animosity towards him at all. In fact, I'm going back to Europe this fall, and I hope Hans is in good enough health so I can meet with him again in September in Munich, because I don't know how many more opportunities I might have to meet with him personally.
Yeah. What about the children? I'm sure that you've discussed this with a lot of the people like yourself who've had parents who were involved in the war and they had great stories. And do you meet? Do you have discussions about this? And do you pass it down to the young people in schools?
Well, as I mentioned, I do a lot of speaking, make PowerPoints presentations. I go all over the United States attending air shows, signing copies of my book. So I do meet a great number of people. I'm lucky to meet a lot of veterans, too. And so I listen to veterans or relatives of men who fought in World War II to their stories. Unfortunately, the most common tale I get is that the people I talk with say, well, my vet, whether it's, you know, a father, an uncle, or a cousin, didn't talk about the war. And when they were younger, the relatives didn't ask him about the war. And so then their vet dies, and they really know nothing about what their relative did during the war.
Wow.
And
wow.
So that's a sad thing. One of the gratifying parts about what I do is people who read my book and whose father was in the 8th Air Force, by reading the book, they tell me that even though they didn't learn anything from their vet because they didn't talk about it, at least now they, reading my book, could get an appreciation about what they went through, why they were in England and flying combat missions over Germany and occupied Europe.
Yeah. Let's get a little sort of now to talking about now what is happening, and there are so many horrors going on certainly in the Middle East and certainly in Africa and places all around the world. you know, you would think, and I'm just curious what your opinion of this is, really, and that is that you would think they would have learned something from World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Korean War, and yet they're still fighting and they're still killing each other. I mean, what do you think about that, Steve?
Well, it's the human condition. There'll always be, you know, tyrants and dictators and people that want power. And there's, you know, people who grew up in the United States, you know, although these days with the Democrats and Republicans, it's getting pretty nasty. But there's so many in other parts of the country, you know, different races, different nationalities, different ethnic groups, different religions. I mean, they've been fighting for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And there's a real divide. And I'm a Christian, and I think, you know, it's all because there's sin in the world, and it just leads there's constant struggle because of that.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking all about your book, and I want you to repeat the book and how people get in touch with you if they want to find out more, where you're giving a talk or more about your book. How do they get in touch with you, Steve?
Okay. Well, most people acquire the book on Amazon. Over 50% of all the books sold are sold on Amazon. But my website is stevesnyderauthor.com. That's Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R. stevesnyderauthor.com. And if people want an autographed book, they can order one on my homepage. Also, there's a lot of information on my website. There's a tab for my speaking engagements or appearances where I'll be signing books and presentations that I'm going to make. I keep pretty busy going all over the place. And if anyone wants to contact me, they can just email me at steve@stevesnyderauthor.com.
And where is your next presentation?
Well, on Memorial Day, I always go out to the Palm Springs Air Museum in Southern California and sign copies there. And then after that, on June 5th, I'll be in Michigan making a PowerPoint presentation at the Yankee Air Museum in Belleville, Michigan. And then the following weekend on 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'll be in Reading, Pennsylvania, signing copies of my book at the World War II weekend, which is an absolutely fantastic event.
Wow. You weren't kidding when you said you travel all over the world.
Last weekend, I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at the Warbirds Over the Beach air show put on by the Military Aviation Museum. So I stay pretty busy. It's changed my life, actually, writing this book.
Well, I'm just very curious about something because I happen to be based in Florida. Anytime you're coming to Florida?
So right now I don't have anything in the near future that I'm coming down to Florida, although I'd like to get down there because I like Florida.
Okay. Well, I would love for you to come down because these air shows, when people go to the air shows, it's such an amazing experience, particularly kids. Now, Steve, I always give my guests the last word. What would you like to tell them?
There is no other event in history that affected more people than World War II. 60 million people died. Millions more were wounded. Millions more were displaced and left homeless. It changed the course of the United States and the world forever. And the brave young men who fought and died for freedom can never be forgotten. We have to keep their sacrifice in our minds, and it's our duty to remember.
There you go. Well, today my guest has been Steve Snyder, whose father, Howard, was the basis of a book that he's written, which is sounds like it's a fabulous book, and I want you to tell them again the name of the book and where they can get it.
The name of the book is Shot Down, the True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. And it's just not about my dad, but it's about each member of the crew because something different happened to each man. And also about the amazing, courageous Belgian people that risked their lives to help them. It has five. It's a five-star reader review rating on Amazon. That's won over 25 book awards since it was released. And if anyone wants an autographed book, they can go to my website at stevesnyderauthor.com.
My guest today, again, has been Steve Snyder, and I want to thank you so much, Steve, for being on the Susan Brenda Show. It was really a very inspirational and very interesting discussion. So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Susan. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you for listening to the Susan Brenda Show. To be a guest, email sebrender@yahoo.com.